Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 275. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
I'm in kind of a 70s groove with this music.
Herb Albert. And yeah. Graham Thickens from up at the lake.
Yeah, I can groove to that tune, baby.
And Phil Wilson.
That's always been one of my favorite intros. I know we've used that a couple of times before over the years.
Not this one.
Are you sure?
Positive. Yeah. Okay. You know why? Because sometimes I'll do searches to make sure that I haven't used either the same artist with the same kind of song. Mm-hmm. And this guy's brand new.
I wouldn't mind using this up permanently. I like that.
Yeah.
Got a good vibe to it, man.
It does. Anyhow, so it's been a couple of weeks. How you boys doing?
Hot and humid.
What?
Really?
Because you're in your car, right?
Well, I got the air running. I admit it. It's about 72 point here next to the lake. You can kind of cut the air with a knife, you know.
Hey, look, don't be complaining to me after being in Rome where it's 88% humidity and 90 degrees.
Ooh.
Ouch. I mean, I was soaked for a week. Oh, my God. Of course.
Did you jump in a fountain?
No. You know, the Europeans don't do air conditioning like we do. You know, you have to literally put your hand right on the air conditioner to see if there's any cold air come out of there. Because it's just, oh, my God. Everybody smells.
That and bathrooms, I hear.
Yeah, actually, the bathrooms are fine.
Are they? Okay.
Except they're few and far between. But
well, that's why they have fountains.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, brother. Yeah. You got to plan ahead.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You just go from fountain to fountain.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
You never stay too far away from a fountain.
That's only in Belgium.
That's
with the mannequin piss.
Well, we were kind of toying with the idea if we could stay longer in Italy, we were going to go up to Venice. And it turns out that the canals are about 90% of the waste. Human waste goes into the canals.
Yeah.
And nice. Yeah, nice. And people that have that blog from there, that live there, say, "Oh my God, I can't believe that we always see tourists swimming in the canals." They're basically swimming in a sewer. Ooh, geez.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, that must smell lovely too.
Oh, yeah. Especially in August.
Yeah, and that 90 degree humidity.
Yeah. Amazing. Anywho.
Anyway.
So probably the biggest story that we should probably start off with is Samsung officially acquiring SmartThings for $200 million.
Oh, I disagree. This is not the biggest story of the last 2 weeks.
You don't think?
That HyperIQ story is.
That's right.
Sure.
That's
come on. Right. Forget that.
Forgot.
We can bury the lead, though, and talk about SmartThings.
Oh, Tim, you're such a kidder.
I thought that Phil and his crew would get a kick out of that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate that. We do. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, we did. HyperIQ grew. We more than doubled our size, folks.
So that now there's like three or four of you now?
No, there's seven of us now. Woo! Seven full-time employees and three or four contractors.
And Phil, when I did
like
that,
a real company.
When I did that post on Minivate about the announcement, you have no idea how hard it was for me to not modify that photo. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Put a hat on Phil or something. Or
it would have been much, much worse than that. Yeah,
that would have been an address or something like that. Would have been good. I know, Steve, that would not have been good. But no, we I'm pretty excited about that. I was 2.5 whole months of sole ownership. Now I have two partners and a big full campsite at Cocoa, and life is good. So now we just have to get business coming in the door on a regular basis. So feel free to send your friends and neighbors.
Yeah, whoever needs apps.
Whoever needs mobile app development, please feel free to give us a call.
So, do you need that Windows phone I hear the kids are using these days?
No, we don't. Strangely enough, we don't do a lot of Windows phone, you know, and it very rarely gets asked for. So.
You know,
how about Tizen? Is Tizen coming on?
Tizen big.
Well, I heard Windows Mobile dropped. Their market share dropped.
It doesn't.
I wouldn't be surprised. What from from nothing to negative nothing, or?
No. It dropped from, now I'll have to find the stat, but it was something like it dropped from 2.5% to 1.9% or something in terms of market share.
All right. You ready for the Microsoft breakout strategy in mobile?
Go for it.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. They need to buy BlackBerry.
Oh, God.
come on.
Well, they could buy the customers, but
no,
still.
I'm just kidding. The two weakest players on the way down, that wouldn't be good.
Well, if you're going to go down, you might as well go down in flames together.
I guess.
And it can't cost much.
Misery does love company. So.
Yeah, they could double down on the enterprise.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Good luck, right? Apple, well, the enterprise goes iOS.
Yeah. Apple and IBM. Ooh.
Well, but the new CEO, Satya, whatever his last name is, did take a leadership position in the pouring of ice on his head for ALS. I'm sure you've seen all that, right?
Sure.
The whole Bill Gates, and I mean, everybody's doing it now, and they're challenging each other. But he did take a leadership position there. So
isn't the deal with that, isn't it you have to donate money or pour water over your head? Isn't that what that's that is?
Well, those cheapskates are getting them by cheap.
Yeah, I don't know.
What the heck?
I wasn't sure. I haven't really looked into that. So.
Tim Cook could be
talking out of my butt there. You never know.
Well, I don't know.
So anyway.
So what's the smart things deal, Steve?
Well, the smart things deal is they were acquired, of course, by Samsung, and they're moving the headquarters from Virginia to Palo Alto. So they could by Samsung's innovation center out there. And obviously to be in the epicenter of Silicon Valley.
Sure, all the guys out in D.C. are this thrilled with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they are, especially Ben just bought a house out there. So, or I think he bought a house.
Cost of living is not cheap in the D.C. area, but it's cheaper than Palo Alto.
Oh, Lord, yes. Yep. Well, and in San Francisco proper, there was just an article in talking about how San Francisco real estate is close to surpassing New York real estate, Manhattan real estate for price. So it's getting pretty ugly out there.
Wow.
Yep. Well, I wonder who's really going to move. I mean, the developers in Minneapolis, I doubt, are going to pick up and move out there.
No, there's no reason.
And it might just be a headquarters in name only, and for a while anyway.
For a while,
yeah.
But I don't know. I've been wrestling with this to know if this is a good move or not.
Well, it depends on who you are.
Yeah, I think that this space is really not going in the smart things direction. So that this is going to be dominated by a few large players like Apple and.
Android,
Home Depot, these big companies that already have plays out there that are competitive, and a little company like SmartThings is not going to make it by itself. So joining with Samsung is a smart thing. Plus they get
a
way to cash out. The founders get to cash out and some of the early employees, it's a good thing for them.
Well, this is what I said early on. We started talking about this on the podcast when the rumor first hit. And, it's great for them because they're selling at their peak time. So kudos to them and their advisors and their board and their VCs. They're getting out while the getting's good. But I still say they sold to the worst company ever that they could have. But, you take the money and, what do they care? They'll be out of there. And that's what we don't know is how long they're locked in. But, typically that's a year, average.
Probably 3 years. Yeah. I would think it could be more,
but it's totally negotiable. And every, founder, major share holder, officer of the company can negotiate on their own. We'll find that out as time goes on, but good for them. I say they got, they got the money, take the money and run,
Well, I really would argue though about whether or not it's the wrong company, because when I think about Samsung, they're now by volume the largest consumer electronics company in the world, and they're vertically integrated because they've got chip manufacturing and displays and everything else. And, obviously they've got the engineering capability, so, and distribution, with all these Samsung centers and Best Buy stores and so on. I really think that they're going to get a pretty good leg up in terms of accelerating their development and so on.
Well, so, yeah, but, maybe.
You know, Alex Hawkinson said in that TechCrunch article. For you to yeah, say. I know. It said in that TechCrunch article. It really came down to simple. The reason they did it, scale.
Yeah, because
And he can buy another vacation house somewhere where.
There you go.
Come up with another idea after a disaster happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? What are you referencing there?
What the founding? He said he had some place in Colorado or someplace out west.
Yep. Had a ski place. Yep.
Yeah. And the basement flooded or the place flooded or whatever while they were gone because the pipes froze. So he wanted to have something that would monitor, you know, that place when he was gone. Thus, SmartThings.
That's the story.
I know that, Steve, you disagree with Tom's comment here on this GigaOm piece, but one thing he does point out that's interesting is if then that, which seems to be like this glue that the programmable web is built on, who is going to buy that? Because that seems like a pretty valuable commodity in the Internet of Things.
Oh, yeah, and that could go for a lot more than 200, it would be my bet, especially if they keep holding out, you know.
IFTTT, you mean?
Yep.
The site? It's interesting because I have used IFTTT with SmartThings and without SmartThings to automate various tasks and so on. And it's just, honest to God, it's really inefficient. I mean, it works, and it's nice to be able to connect other cloud-based systems and so on. But, boy, talk about exposure for potential hacking. You know, security is already an issue relative to various security models. And now if you're tapping into, you know, 10 APIs from all kinds of different cloud providers through IFTTT, you know, trying to figure out how to secure each one of those connections is going to be a nightmare.
Well, security aside, they need to make it more like a iTunes smart playlist where you can stack up different things.
Oh, I would agree. I would agree. Well, just like that Telxio, that phone provider I told you guys about as one of my fun things, TelZio.com, how they have that flowchart metaphor for being able to connect to your calls. It's just a JavaScript drag and drop, and you can create your custom call flows. Well, I could see that with IFTTT. That's really where it needs to go, where all the functionality is embedded in an icon that's configurable, and then you can create, you know, connection flows. That's actually what I was hoping SmartThings would do when they were coming out with their new apps, and it just got more confusing. And I've had all kinds of issues with, you know, having switches work properly, you know, before we went on vacation, and all kinds of issues. It seems like it's getting harder rather than easier.
Well, what's your take on some of the other stuff this commenter says on the GigaOm story? Tom, you know, he's saying that, you know, the SmartThings API was poor and complicated, and he's an original Kickstarter backer. And he said, you know, it's just a bunch of unorganized hackers trying to get other hackers, developers together. And when we get frustrated, we just buy Arduinos and Raspberry Pis and build our own thing, which was his experience. You're a hacker in this world. Well, what do you?
But Steve, don't you think that the API is pretty complicated to do any custom stuff?
Well, not if you're a developer, it's not. I mean, if you're a developer, it's relatively straightforward. I mean, I can even figure out part of the API just looking at the syntax and stuff. It's not like I'm going to go and start coding because that's not my forte. But it is relatively geeky. Straightforward. Well, of course it's geeky, but, yeah. but again, you know, most people don't dip into that. You know, they go to WordPress.com to build a site. They're not in goofing with right. PHP, you know, right. And hacking their CSS and stuff like that. 99% of people don't do that. And same thing with Arduinos and Raspberry Pis. Yeah, they're awesome and all of that. And the makers are out there goofing with that stuff, but that's not how things are going to, that's not yep. how things are going to mainstream. That's not how they're going to scale.
Right. Right.
And so, the only issue that I have with SmartThings is that I wish for everything to be local, to have a process so that it doesn't have to round trip from my house to the server and then back.
So why do they have a hub then? What does the hub actually do?
Well, the hub controls the mesh inside your house. So it talks to all the different switches, and the switches talk to each other or all the devices.
To execute programs or commands, it has to go back to the cloud.
Yes, mostly. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That seems inefficient. You'd think that you would have something local in the hub that would actually execute in case you got cut off from the cloud. So it would have like a whatever programming copied between the cloud and the hub.
And that's exactly where they're going in their next iteration.
Oh, okay.
And so hopefully it'll be a firmware update for my hub, but if not, I'll just buy a new hub. But that's exactly where it has to go, because when the internet connection drops or they got a problem at the server level, then, you know, if it misses an event, you know, if your lights are going to turn on at 8 o'clock at night and the server happens to be down for 80 seconds, let's say, then that event doesn't happen. So your lights don't come on. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. That's a real problem, especially, you know, especially in mission critical apps. You know, if you've got seniors, you know, some guy or you know, some kid, one of the kids buys a SmartThings package and sets it up in mom or dad's house to turn on lights automatically and trigger things automatically and all that stuff. And the internet connection goes out or the SmartThings server drops or whatever, and this stuff doesn't work. That's a real problem. And so it's got to be local, and that's exactly the direction they're moving in.
Is Samsung going to help them from a technological standpoint then, or is this marriage of these two only really about the marketing and distribution clout?
No. I mean, Alex has been pretty clear, and I've kind of read between the lines in some of the conversations I've had with Ben Edwards, who can't really say much, but reading between the lines is they're going to get the resources they need to be able to take it to the next level. You know, cause right now, I mean, they're parsing out their cash, trying to make sure they can cover everything. And that's everything from manufacturing to development to, you know, hiring the right people for UI stuff and all of that. I mean, there's a lot going on. So, I think it's a real positive. I mean, I wish it wasn't Samsung, but at the end of the day, it makes complete sense to me.
Yep. Well, and the best thing of all is it minted a several more millionaires with Twin Cities.
Maybe some of them move back and start new startups.
Well, there are some of them that are still in Minneapolis, and Ben, you know, even though he moved, he's, I'm sure, still considers Minneapolis home. I don't know if Alex does, but he may still have a home in Minneapolis too.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can count it as a Minnesota success. There's no doubt about it. This thing was birthed in Minnesota and largely built and maintained in Minnesota because, you know, all the developers pretty much are here. Now, maybe not all. They've got some virtual people and maybe even some out in Washington now, Washington, D.C. But Lord knows they'll be scaling up employment in Palo Alto too, probably.
Yeah.
But you need a lot of money to do that. That's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
But Samsung's got it. So,
well, and you could do a lot more back here if CenturyLink starts moving faster on their super fast fiber.
Yeah, so when he's switching, Steve.
Well, it certainly isn't good. No, it's not going to hit Eden Prairie for a long time. Even though I can look out my back door on the deck and I can see the box where the fiber comes. CenturyLink fiber. And so they could probably wire up our neighborhood or fiber up our neighborhood, but I don't know. And you guys out there in Lakeville, forget it.
Yeah, we're on charter.
Yeah, it'll be 97 years.
We will stay on charter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about
and we're Frontier too for phone. So I mean,
oh yeah,
the CenturyLink folks are not here at all.
At all.
Yeah.
Unless they bite the Frontier people out on the dial-up side or the phone side.
Well, all I can say is could you imagine having 1 gigabit per second up and down?
Sounds good. Sign me up.
My God.
I guess it depends on how much it costs.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, even if it was, a couple hundred megabit per second up and down symmetrical, it'd be like, oh, wow.
Well, what kind of work are you guys doing that you need that kind of speed, just out of curiosity?
Putting dresses on people like you in Photoshop.
That's a good one. Well, I'll just give you an example. So we just had to finalize a report for a client. And they wanted all the imagery, and there's, I'm not going to say what's all in there, but the file was 272 megs.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sound like a lot. I mean, it's not like it takes forever to get up, but it took like 20 some minutes to upload. Well, there were some issues, and the client wanted to have another iteration of the document. So rather than just send that as the PDF file that's part of this whole package, I re-zipped up the whole thing and had to upload it again. And she actually called and said, when's it going to come? When's it going to be available? Cause I got to take off. I got to get on a plane. And it's just stuff like that where it's like, really?
So did you email it to her or what?
No. She, it was up there and I called her back and said, hey, okay, it's there.
What did you, what, where's up there? Just Dropbox?
No, we have on our website, we've got a file download thing. It's a plugin, and so we can upload it to our server. Gotcha. And then just associate it with that particular download. And all they have to do is just click on it, and it downloads it automatically.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, I think it would be great. It looks like it is going to roll out, but it's going to start in Minneapolis in the urban core. And then slowly roll out from there. So
the urban core.
Yeah.
Neat. Well, sounds cool.
It's good. Yeah. Good that you're finally getting your competition though.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Well, I'm sure it will be. Come on.
One thing we did, we skipped over. I know that really the big mobile merger concept was really all about HyperIQ this last 2 weeks, but really we should mention that MentorMate.
Oh yes, was acquired by
Taylor Corp. So
yep,
good on them.
Yeah. So now, why'd they want to get acquired by a golf equipment company?
That's TaylorMade. Wacky.
Okay,
I thought it was a basketball company.
You scamp, you
Timberwolves.
Yeah. Now we know who will build a Red Stamp app, right?
Well, this is actually a really, I think, a really smart move both by Taylor and MentorMate.
In what way?
Well, so one of the things that Taylor has done really, really, really well for a long period of time is the concept of shared services within the corporation.
Synergies, you mean?
Yeah. Well, and so they've got all these different operating units. And for a long time, they were doing shared services. So if one was offering, printing product X, but they couldn't do printing product Y and Z, then they would come up with a transfer cost internally for jobs that could be quoted out. And so the jobs would be done by the shared service and then delivered out to all the different companies. And it worked beautifully. And so I'm assuming MentorMate will be doing that, but also maybe doing platform kinds of things that these various business units can then roll out as products that they can just customize. I don't know. I just think it's a smart move because it lets MentorMate scale too. And one of the things that Bjorn Sandsvik, who is the CEO of MentorMate, has talked about in the past is, the ups and downs with doing deals. And it's always that way in a service business, as we all know, that you know, you get a deal and you have a great project and you go off and do that project. Well, while you're doing that project, you've got to be selling other projects because at some point that one will end and you've got to keep all these balls juggled in the air. And so everybody's always trying to come up with some sort of an evergreen platform or an evergreen product that'll just keep selling. So you've got a baseline of cash flow. And it's hard to do. And they were a project-based company, totally. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. They were making some equity investments in some of the startups they were helping. So it'd be interesting to see if that comes to an end or continues on or what. But I think the biggest question is: does anybody know the purchase price yet? When are we going to find that out?
Yeah. But we'll probably never find that.
I don't know.
Apparently, they had a revenue run rate about $12 million. And the story said with 200 employees. And it's like, what? But then I remembered, oh, aren't like 100 plus of those over in Bulgaria or something?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I will tell you from personal experience that you can, if you find the right group, you can hire people over there to do unbelievable development for not much money.
Really cheap. Yep.
Yeah. And they're creative and good. So,
well, you can also find crap for not a lot of money either. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You could hire
all over the world.
All over the world.
Yeah.
Yep. So, offshoring. You know, this whole Titans of Technology thing.
Titans of Technology.
Yeah. This story. Who put this in here?
I did.
You did. Okay.
Yeah, Jamie Thingelstad's in there, so I figured,
Yeah.
We know one of the titans of technology.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. Well, then I've met Jim Wolford from Atomic Data.
See, you know two titans of technology.
And then we know Justin Koffenberg from Sport Engine.
Three titans of technology.
Zach Halmstead and Chip Pearson from Jamf.
Four titans.
Matt Dornquist.
Wow.
Five. And,
yep.
What about the nerdery guy, Mark?
Come on. I don't know Mark.
Six. We know
Interviewed him. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
We kind of know him. And then we know Margaret Anderson Kelleher, kind of, from MHTA. Dan Grigsby, Scott Littman, and Dan Mallon from Magna 360.
And it's, you know, the titans of technology seems like it's always this, you know, the same people, you know, we see. Every day.
Yeah, you know, these lists that the publications do get really tiresome, you know, because, you know, you can nominate yourself and, you know, it becomes a big promo thing.
It's a revenue stream.
I get these things. Yeah, it is.
We're going to name you a titan of technology. Would you like to buy some advertising?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Would your company like to buy a full page ad congratulating you on being a titan of technology?
There you go.
Yeah.
They send these applications out, you know, and sometimes they'll even say right in it, feel free to nominate yourself, you know. And I mean, come on, you know. Anyway, they're all pretty much people we know or knew already.
It's a nice outlet for PR, you know, those companies that have PR agencies that can, you know,
magic word PR. Yeah.
But you know,
hey, I'm going to announce, you know, I'm going to bill you about 20 hours this week because I, you know, nominated you to be a titan of technology.
Well, you know, it's funny you would say that. I saw one recently and I told my client, oh, you should apply for this. She'll remain unnamed what it was or what the client was, you know, thinking that I don't want to do it. I'm not being paid to do this. And they say, great idea. But we think we talked it over and we think it'd be better if you nominated us. So I had to go do the darn application, you know. But anyway.
But that's billable hours, right? Isn't that billable hours for you?
No, it really wasn't. It was a sort of, you know, I had to just blend it into everything else I was doing for him that month, you know.
Well, I will tell you, though, that the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal they've really got their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the Twin Cities. It's really well done.
Association. MSPBJ, as they're known.
Yeah, I know.
There you go.
I know.
MSPBJ. Yeah, and Kathy Grayson, you know.
I don't know if it's necessarily MSPBJ. I think it's Kathy Grayson that does it all. So Kathy.
Well, and Mark Riley, who used to have her job and is now, I think, managing editor. Yeah, they stay up on it all. They work long hours, and they're on to pretty much every story there is out there.
Right,
So good for them.
So what was Jamie nominated as a
CTO?
CIO, CTO.
Yeah.
SPS Commerce, which I wrote about a while back on Minovate, is really moving and growing, and you know, like 30% a year or something, and you know, they want to be a $1 billion company. So good for them.
Well,
you know,
they're on they're on the right roll.
Yeah, they're headed there.
Yeah, I mean it's. Yeah, they're doing well. So,
yep, hiring people and I wrote about their VP of marketing and all the good, wonderful things they're doing and marketing technology over there. So,
well, and if somebody wants to just do a quick search for SPS on Minovate, there's also another article from there that I did from their. On their channel event and kind of put some color around what they're doing and why they're on the cusp of such growth. So, so it's, it's pretty interesting. So this, speaking of Catherine Grayson and in the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal, I'm assuming you found this, Tim, about the connected car startup spun out of Best Buy raising $8 million. I didn't even know about this.
I didn't either.
Oh, okay.
It's a well-kept like secret.
It's an OBD2 device with some sort of a Wi-Fi component or GPS component built into it. So interesting technology for people that have fleets that want to know what's going on with the cars or trucks, you know, from the data that the vehicle provides.
Well, and so for those listening, an OBD... two device is a little thing that plugs into there's a port on your car's built since 1996. It's an onboard diagnostic system. You know, you've always heard about the computer in your car, and the OBD2 is being used by that app you talked about, I think 2 weeks ago, Graham. Automatic. And there's also another one that's getting a lot of play that I can't remember, but I'll find and put in the show notes. And this whole direction is getting very, very interesting. And of course, now I'm kind of looking for OBD2 hacks, you know, but isn't the OBD2 a read-only port? Or can you, so you can't really do anything. You can't do
it. It reads data out.
Okay.
Yep.
So you can't really get in and hack.
You can send, you could actually.
Oh, really?
Because you can send commands the other way, but the commands do things like turn off.
The engine light.
You know, the check engine light and other. I did it. Stuff.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yep. Okay.
Yep. I did it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work real fast, but it, you know, you got to kind of sit there and wait, but.
Oh, really? Yep. The one I've got works just immediately.
But as soon as the smoke cleared, you saw that it was off. Right?
Once they put the fire out.
Here's Graham. How come my car's going backwards all the time? I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. But I wondered about this when I read about Zuby. So Zuby is more of a fleet application, not a consumer.
Right. That's
that's what it sounds like.
That's that's really the direction. And if, you know, they're going to have to compete with, you know, like not Zyotech.
What the heck's their name? XRS now.
XRS. Yes. Thank you.
What the heck were they called? Yeah. I'm blanking on their old name. Yeah. Zeta.
Zeta. Yeah. Thank you.
XATA was changed to XRS Corp.
Yep.
Yeah. They're definitely huge into the fleet business. Yeah. I wonder if this kind of is... overlapping with what they do. I suppose it would be. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think so, but there's so many different opportunities within that. I think that it's probably going to go places.
Oh, it's a huge untapped market, I would think. But but Zuby isn't even based here. If it was spun out of Best Buy, it sure didn't hang around. And what's interesting, the early capital that went into it doesn't say anything about Best Buy Ventures being a contributor to the funding. Nokia Growth Partners, Magna International did the recent round of funding. And prior to that, Castrol, InnoVentures, Comporium, and Open Air Equity.
Okay, so, you know, I think that maybe the spun out of Best Buy thing is probably more of a PR sort of a thing than anything. You know, it was probably started at Best Buy and they couldn't afford to do anything with it, so they had to kick it out. So
the guy left.
Yeah, the guy left. So I don't know if you could call it necessarily spun out, but it could be. I don't know.
Well, yeah, they used that word, but or Kathy did. But anyway, Best Buy and other retailers already sell the Zuby products. So right. they saw it as something they could sell in the stores. So
yeah. Huh. Well, I think that this space is probably already they already have some solutions, but they're probably very expensive. So this is like a disruptive deal. Mm-hmm. Because as I mentioned when you talked about the automatic, I bought this $8 ODB or OBD2 scanner off of Amazon, which I just dropped into the notes. And it runs with an Android app called Torque. And it gives you about 80% of what you get with automatic. So I'm assuming what they're doing is they're getting something like that. So it's sub $10 retail deal, and they're adding a GPS to it. Or they're using the phone's GPS probably, because it does say it works with a smartphone app. So they're probably getting the raw thing. And this $8 one that I have, it works with Bluetooth. And so it connects with your smartphone via Bluetooth and gives you the readout as you're driving. So
yeah, that's what my automatic does on the iOS app.
Yeah. So I would imagine that this thing is very disruptive, and they can sell it for, you know, $20 or $30 or $50 or whatever they sell it for, but it's a many times less expensive than the enterprise apps that I'm sure are running on trucks and various things.
So, yeah.
That UPS and FedEx and everybody else has.
Well, my only concern is that, excuse me for coughing here. My only concern with this whole thing is, knowing what insurance companies are going to want to do. Well, Phil, you exceeded the speed limit 9 times last month. Therefore, you're going to go up.
Yep.
Your rates are going up $30 a month.
Some of them already have this. They already have that. Yeah. Progressive has one. I don't know. Most of them already have them.
But it's optional.
Yeah.
It is optional.
I mean, how long is it going to be before we see, oh, you did 2 text messages from inside your car, therefore you're going to have to pay our risk fee.
Well, that's another thing that I saw a story. I don't remember where I saw it, but they're talking about technology that will be installed in your car that will let you know if let people know if you're using your cell phone from inside your car. So, I mean, we'll record that data. So
Yeah.
Oh, what was that thing we say about privacy? Oh, yeah, it's dead.
Get over it, Steve. Yeah.
Get over it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, my automatic app tells me when I've accelerated, I forget what they call it, not a heavy acceleration, but a rapid acceleration or a rapid braking. And it's like, mind your own business, you know? It's like... knowing when I accelerate.
You've replaced the backseat driver with the under dash driver.
Yeah. Really.
Well, soon it will be share with your friends, and so your friends will start putting Graham, what the hell are you accelerating so fast for? Wasting all that fuel.
Kicked in the turbo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, how many times did you kick in the turbo this month?
Yeah, there was some old lady in front of me, so I had to gun it. Yeah.
If
they gamified our gas mileage, Steve would win because he's got the Prius.
He's the hyper miler.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Because, there's joy in Apple land for Graham and Steve. So
the new iPhone, there will be an event on September 9th. Yeah. Yeah.
Headphone jack is in the bottom.
Wow. You know, I really wish that there were some rumors around this phone so we could see some pictures or something.
It has been sort of quiet. Yeah. Yeah. TMZ even put out.
And have you ever watched that show, TMZ?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
God.
I love it.
I got to tell you that it is just, I feel like I have to go shower after.
I know.
I watched 8 minutes of it last night and I thought, ooh, I just feel icky.
Yeah, no, but it's trash TV. It's the best trash TV because it's tongue in cheek trash TV.
Well, it's better than Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, for God's sake.
I mean, that thing will rot your brain.
I've never seen that, thank God.
No, I walked through the room with my wife watching it. I was, it's terrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, every time I see that show, I always think, poor Bruce Jenner.
I know. Why is he even hanging around there? I thought he was supposed to be separated, but no, he's still around.
I look at him and it's like, what happened to you, dude? Your face is.
Is he even recognizable anymore? It's his,
he is, kind of.
Yeah, sort of.
It's his, the plastic surgery was really bad.
Not pretty.
Yeah. Not pretty. Too bad.
Anyway, but so, Steve, what do you expect here? Do you expect a big iPhone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bigger.
Like a 4.7.
Yeah.
But going from 4 to 4.7, won't that like shock people?
Yeah. God, no. No.
I mean, that's, remember, you know, we went from, you know, 3.5 to 4 to 4.3 to 4.5 to 4.7, now 5, you know.
Well, I'd be really happy if they did a graduation up. I would be happy if they did a 4.3. I really would.
When we were in Rome, I carried around this iPad mini the whole time, you know, bought a SIM card through Tim and carried this thing around, and which was awesome. But I was realizing that, you know, if I had a new bigger iPhone 6, I would have just had one device.
Yep.
And for what I spent on this thing, I could have easily gone out and paid full retail for whatever, even if it's $950, I could have gone out and bought one for full retail because I spent $700-ish on this. And so, yeah.
You always have to get those 64 giggers, don't you?
Well, I do, and it's because I fill them up.
Oh, really? Okay. I was going to say, 32 is a sweet spot.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, 16, too small, 32, sweet.
Well, there's every chance that I'm going to do the 4.7 iPhone this time around.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hate to leave you, Tim, but, you know.
So I'll again, be the only I'll Android both. Guy.
No, oh, I'll still have my Android, geez. Too. I'll have my Android as well.
I feel so abandoned.
You won't be.
No, Tim's, or Tim, Phil's got to have both.
I got to have both.
You've got to be, yeah, you got to be testing all these apps and stuff.
Yep. Right? So, again, it's one of those things that it's just a little bit bigger screen, and that's where I'm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this.
The HTC One is a 4.7 as well,
yeah.
Which I have now, and so it won't be a big change.
I think it's a good size.
It is a good size. It's as big as I'd like to go. That's for sure.
Yeah, I've got a Nexus 4, which is 4.7, and I'm looking to get a new phone. And the Nexus 5 is five inches, and it's too big. It's too large. Too big.
Really.
So, yeah, so I'm looking probably Motorola X, which is 4.7, I believe.
So what would make you switch to an iPhone, just out of curiosity?
It'd have to get bigger and cheaper, because you can buy a Moto X for $300-$400, you know.
Unlocked, you mean?
Totally unlocked, yeah. Because totally I'm on T-Mobile, I don't necessarily want to pay for 2 years. I just want to pay for it. Be done with it.
Well, that's my big thing. That's it. Just bugs me that I've got I've done the underwriting, because you know what, to unlock all four of our phones before we went to Rome would have cost me close to $800.
Really?
Yeah, because that's how far out we are for
AT&T is just, this is raping and pillaging people. That's just terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, T-Mobile, 90 days. So 90 days after, if you did got a new one, of course, now it doesn't, but in the old days, if you did an upgrade or whatever, you did a subsidy, it was like 90 days, I think, or 120 days, something like that. And then they would unlock it for you.
Yep.
Of course, you are committed to the contract. And if you terminated, you'd have to pay the early termination and all that stuff.
Right, right.
I mean, they got that. I mean, there are legitimate reasons if you're a world traveler that you would have a new AT&T phone and would want it unlocked.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. And their attitude. So. Well, here's why they're really reluctant, I think, because we're grandfathered into the unlimited plan. And man, oh man, have they tried to get us off of that? Oh my God. Oh, use our new AT&T Next plan, you know, and I went through and I literally built a spreadsheet.
Hey,
looking
you can,
at our average data.
You can share 10
use.
Gigs with your family.
Yeah.
Come on, 10 gigs should be plenty.
Not even close.
Alex, not Alex even last close. Month, Alex last month, 4.5 gigs. Elizabeth, close to 4 gigs.
There you go.
You probably did 8 gigs.
Steve did 8.
No, actually, I'm not that bad. No.
Really?
Nope.
Surprised.
Well, yeah. It's because Elizabeth, for example, and Alex both are streaming all the time. Yeah. So Alex streams videos all the time, regardless of where he is. And Elizabeth, she's listening to music constantly and streaming all the time. So that's really what's using all the data.
Mm. So, all right. So getting back to the Apple event.
Those kids.
Do we expect to see whatever wearable they're going to unleash on us?
No.
Why wouldn't you, though? Because this is an iPhone event, and wouldn't whatever wearable be an iPhone accessory and not an iPad accessory?
I think it'll be both, and I think it'll also work with the Apple TV. So I think no. I think they'll do that at a separate event. Okay. And it might be a week later. I don't know.
No, they wouldn't do. They wouldn't do it that quick. They'd do it another month, so it'll be in October.
Yeah, I don't know.
The iPad event. They got to have an iPad event where they bump the specs and blah blah blah. You know.
Yeah. True.
So they'll do that.
Yeah. Well, let's switch to another story, because this is interesting. I've got a little bit of a take on this that might be a little different than most. A lot of people don't even know what Twitch.tv is or was.
It's still around.
Yeah. So Justin
Twitch is, but Justin is not.
Right? Yeah, Justin.tv was one of the first streaming and free streaming offerings, and it was named for, I can't remember his last name, Justin whatever. He was one of the first.
Justin Chen, I think.
Thank you. I think so. He was one of the first people that walked around with a camera strapped to his head, you know, essentially live streaming and showing his life and all that, and that morphed into Justin.tv because he'd figured out all the ways to get cheap bandwidth and move it. Well, then they started Twitch.tv, and what was interesting about Twitch is that it's all about streaming what you're gaming, and so you can have other people watch what you're doing, and you know, groups of people can watch the joint stream and so forth. And I didn't really pay any attention to this because it wasn't in my wheelhouse, but then my son Alex had a bunch of his buddies over, and they did that 24-hour fundraising for Children's Health Network. And they streamed through Twitch, so I had to set the whole thing up, and so they could do that. So I really got into Twitch and learned all about it. Pardon me. And it was like, this is pretty awesome. Now, not that I would sit and watch somebody playing, but there were some people that were doing some really, really, really funny stuff. You know, where they're all mic'd, and so you can actually hear their voices. And it was kind of cool. So I can really see this is going to go some places, but it also has to be a hell of a lot easier to use. And I think that's what'll happen with Google, who acquired them, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't so they, say
well,
that.
They're, it's reported that they're acquiring them. Has it been announced as a done deal? I don't know.
You know, it hasn't been announced. So yeah, I should have said that was a rumor. Yeah.
So what? Well, I bet it's like the Beats.
They're coming after you, Steve.
Yeah.
It's like the Beats rumor.
Yeah.
So
close.
It'll happen.
Yeah. Right.
And what I found interesting about this is that Justin just basically, without any warning, just shut off the service.
Yeah, that really sucked that he did that, because he really left everybody out twisting in the wind.
Yeah. So, I mean, they did, you know, if you look back, there was some handwriting on the wall that you should, you know, the archives went a month or two earlier. So, you know, if you were on that platform, you had to know that time was, you know, was short, but you would think that they would just like give you a week's notice or something like that.
Yeah.
But they just didn't. They just took it down.
Yep.
But, and it's Justin Can, by the way, not Chin.
Okay.
Right. Or, or might be Con.
Real time.
I don't know if it's Can.
I think it's Can. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Justin Can, and Justin did.
He did.
He sold it to Google. He did it.
Did.
That's right.
Wow.
Justin Can, baby. Yeah. Good for him.
Steve, we were talking a little bit about.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of mad people, though.
We were talking a little bit about the, you know, the smart thing and smart hub. I just noticed this piece on. What is it, PEG or PEC or PEAK? What is it?
PEAK.
PEAK.
P-E-Q. Okay.
PEQ.
Yep. The next smartphone hub, or smart home, I should say, not phone. But it's a Best Buy thing, and they're going to charge $10 a month for their cloud service, and which is going to have to connect to something in the house, obviously.
Right.
Which is what Lowe's Iris and Staples Connect both do.
See the picture on the box, it looks like a router, kind of a little box.
Right, right. And so, again, this will be connected up to the cloud service and all of that. But, you know, this makes so much sense for Best Buy. But, again, how are they going to create a platform with which all this stuff is going to work? Because, I mean, somebody has to figure this out. It's also, somebody has to certify all these different products. And, yes, we'll get to the point where there'll be a standard and – and, you know, if you want to make a product, it's got to do X or Y or Z. And so it'll automatically connect and be seen. But we're not there yet. We're actually quite a ways away. And I'm not sure. It doesn't feel like this is the right time for Best Buy to get in and try to do their own thing, because that's not their forte. Their thing is to sell stuff that others do.
Well, it's still right. A developing space, and you know, it's worth a shot, right? It gives them some experience.
Yeah.
And so when Samsung and Apple and other people come out with a truly ready for retail, prime time, you know, real people sort of a solution, they'll have some experience with this.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, they're in the comments. In the comments, there's a guy, Dave Zatz. Who wrote the article, said that GigaOhm had confirmed that Peak is powered by iControl, who are also the folks behind Comcast's home automation stuff. Uh-huh. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. I'll put that link in the show notes too, because iControl's been around quite a while. And they're one of those players where it's like, whatever, they did, just blocking and tackling, and they're moving along and things are going okay, but they don't really have any traction or any buzz. And so maybe this will help them.
So is this a team, is this a startup venture housed within Best Buy? And what kind of team is behind it is what I would wonder.
Don't know.
I can't imagine it's inside Best Buy.
No, I can't either.
No.
But it is a Best Buy venture, right?
Don't know.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, I never really know what that means.
Yeah. It's like, how are they back? They don't do VC investments anymore. Hubert Joly put an end to that unit the way I understand it. So, I don't get it. I don't get how this, in addition to the fact that they could have bought another vowel for the name, but I see their logo. Their logo kind of cures that with the long E mark over the E. Right. But I did what I think Phil did earlier. I wanted to call it Peck.
Peck. As in bushel and a. As in bushel and a.
Peck.
Yeah. Well, but one of the things that I wanted to mention was, and I'll put a link to iControl in the show notes, but go and look at them. And one of their sliders talks about powering leading smart home solutions, and they've got Rogers Cable, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Cox. They've also got Swisscom, so they're doing it overseas, and Bell Alliant and ADT Security. So they're really these guys. They've got a lot of partners, and they're moving in the right direction from that standpoint. And then they talk about being Open Home certified. Well, Open Home certified is, you know, there's like 19 competing standards, but Open Home Certified is kind of positioning themselves as the Wi-Fi consortium for Internet of Things in the home. You'll look for the Open Home Certified logo on anything you buy, and you'll know that it'll work. That's really the direction they're going in. So I don't know.
Well, one of the things that I'm experimenting with is this Home Genie, which is an open source project, which ties together X10, which I've got a bunch of sensors from the old days, Insteon, the Philips Hue stuff, Z-Wave, DLNA, a bunch of, you know, ways that you can control things in your house. And it runs on a Raspberry Pi and it's free and, you know, it looks reasonably good. So, you know, at some point, once I get the server running and all the sensors going, we'll see how it works. But this is like a DIY solution for those of us that have extra Raspberry Pis hanging around looking for things to do.
Yeah.
Things
to do. Yeah.
You know.
And well, if you we're not talking about dessert here. Raspberry Pi.
No.
So, but I did make some really good raspberry jam.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, there you go. Eat that while you're playing with your Raspberry Pi.
That's right.
Why not? Well, you know, those of you that didn't know it, Steve was out of the country last week.
That's right.
So we did really want to tell everybody about it. Just so
but we didn't do a show not just because Steve was out.
We were all on vacation.
We were all out.
Yeah.
All of us were gone.
But Steve was way out.
And that's true. I just went to Milwaukee.
His travels have inspired his security tip of the week.
Really?
Steve's security tip of the week.
Yes.
I love the horses in the background.
So it was quite an adventure. We went to Rome, Italy. And I actually did.
I thought you went to Rome, New York. I'm sorry.
No, Rome, Georgia. Yeah. What a kidder. And actually I wrote a post called A Vacation in Rome, Angels, Demons, and Dirt. And I'll put a link
Dan Brown
on my own. Yeah. I'll put a little, link in the show notes to that particular, post. Because Rome itself was just absolutely filthy, and there's graffiti literally on every surface everywhere. I was just stunned and blown away. I had no expectation that it was like that. And that said, ancient Rome was awesome. Oh my, I'm a lay student of history anyway, and it was just incredible. And so the very last day, we're going to our last event at the Palazzo Valenti, which is this thing where you go down the lower level and they project up color imagery on the walls that actually are like holograms, they say. People have rated it as the number one attraction in TripAdvisor. So we were all excited about going, and we left one museum and we hopped on the metro bus to take us to the stop. And we were getting on, and I took my pass out from my wallet and put my wallet back in my front pocket. And all of a sudden, we're maybe 5 minutes along in the bus, and I reach down just to check it, and my wallet's gone. And it's God, good. I didn't put it into my money belt. Because, you know, we're right there on the bus, and I'm right with the family and the whole thing. And I was so upset. I can't even tell you. And so we skip the event. We go back to the hotel. My wife and I, you know, I log into, because I'm on Dropbox, I had photos of both the front and back of everything in my wallet. And all I took was two credit cards, medical card, driver's license, and money. And most of the money was in the hotel safe, thankfully. And so... we're in there and we're calling, and I'm putting a fraud alert on my credit reports through Equifax. And, you know, this is taking about an hour. And of course, we're going to miss the event. And all of a sudden the front desk calls the room and says, the Carabinieri has found your wallet. It's like, what? First of all, the Carabinieri, I didn't really know a lot about it, but they're the Italian military police. And the Nazis actually had pushed these guys off.
Nazis took your wallet?
No. Oh. Anyway.
Listen carefully.
So, yeah. And so these guys are kind of the rebel force, if you will, because they joined the resistance and all of that. But so we go to the police station. Turns out that they'd caught this Romanian gang. And they had all kinds of wallets in their backpack that they'd stolen and so on. And the guy who was literally sitting next to me, or was right next to me, I was standing must have reached into my pocket at some point and pulled the thing out, and I never felt it.
Those Romanian gangs. You just can't.
Yeah, yeah.
So to recap. So to recap, Romanian Nazis took Steve's wallet. He was in Rome, New York.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Here's the big travel security tip, because Rick Steves and TripAdvisor and everybody else says again and again and again and again and again that every single tour that Rick Steves takes, he's the big travel guru. Somebody gets their one person at least in every tour is pickpocketed, and yep. So keep most of your cash in a hotel safe or a money belt. He just money belt. So does TripAdvisor. And only what you need for the day do you slip into your pocket. And that's exactly what I did, thank God. But I should have left my credit cards in the money belt. And then take photos of both the front and back of all the items in your wallet, and either have photocopies in your money belt or do what I did, which is to put the images in Dropbox so you can access them from a computer or from anywhere. And then please don't ever take your debit card with you thinking, oh, I'll just go to the ATM and get cash, because I discovered that, and I already knew most of this, but even with Wells Fargo, whose card is backed by Visa, it will take a minimum of 10 days, more like 30 days, and with some banks can be up to 90, to get any money withdrawn from your checking account to be put back in. And with all my credit cards, just report it stolen, and the absolute most you're liable for is $50, but that's if you don't report it for several days. And that's my travel security tip.
So you canceled all your cards and did all your,
yep.
Did you have to go back and spend another hour calling it all off so you could use your cards again?
Nope. Because I didn't know what they'd done with the cards. I don't know if they'd already scanned them or whatever. And so when we got home yesterday, both the UPS envelopes were there with new cards. One of our neighbors picked them up for us. They were there like instantly, which was nice. Awesome. I'm so damn lucky, because, you know, most people don't get that. So
how are we doing on time, guys? Do we have time for our cool thing of the week?
If we do it quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it quick. Steve, go, Phil. Cool.
Okay. This is those people that are using project management tools. It was just a quick little Mac desktop app for Pivotal Tracker called Booster. Just found it myself. So I know it's been out there for a while, but they've just done an upgrade on it, and it just works very well. So if you guys use Pivotal Tracker for any, you know, project management, great piece of a little add-on software for you Mac users. There.
Cool. Tim?
Yeah, little bits. I ran across this week, and it's like Legos, but for electronics. So they're all little components that you like gang together with magnets, and then you can create prototype electronics with it.
Oh, so sweet.
This is really cool. I'm going to have to get one of these kits and fool around with it.
Oh, my God. But why the fish on their front page?
I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah, I forgot how I ran across these guys, but when I saw it, I said, you know what?
This is
my
really
cool
neat.
Tip of the week. I had another one, which I'll save for next week.
Wow. Well, and their Twitter at Little Bits, it says Mark Cantor, who's the guy that's, you know, founded Macromind and created Macromind Director, and then was part of, he's done all kinds of different things, launches ThingFace, a venture for authoring Internet of Things apps. Interesting.
Huh. What a name.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I believe somebody said this had to be quick.
Oh.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
So Graham. I'm next.
Graham.
So I resisted getting the Yo app, but I finally downloaded
to
my iPhone.
Oh, no.
Gotta have the Yo app now because I read.
No, yo.
I read.
No, yo.
A wonderful story in the Wall Street Journal that, talked about how it's really not, you know, a joke. It's a communications protocol, you know, like text, email, Twitter, and there's a lot more coming in Yo. And when I saw that the next iteration will let users send a link along with their Yo, I go, okay, that's it. I got to have it. that changes the game for me. So I got it. I'm ready for the update whenever they want to do it. And I'll be blasting you guys with links like you wouldn't believe.
Wow. Okay.
Well, we'd have to get the Yo app to do that. So yeah. We can just.
Hey, they have a Windows Phone version.
I tried sending one to you, Phil.
I refuse. I refuse. I have no use for one more app that just says Yo. I could do. I could call you. I could walk over and see you when you're at Coco and say Yo.
We're gonna change your name to Floodite.
Okay. All right, Steve. It really sounds like there's a lot more coming.
So mine is an app that I used all the time over in Rome called Off Maps 2, and it works offline. And there were many times when we were in a building or whatever, and I didn't have any signal because Tim doesn't, for some reason, the mobile company over there doesn't penetrate very well. And this uses OpenStreetMap. And what was really, really cool about it is in advance, I put down all the attractions and downloaded the Wikipedia articles that go along with it. So we were able to actually look at the Wikipedia articles while we were at a venue, which is really cool. We also downloaded free audio things from Rick Steves so we could listen to tours. But anyway, this Off Maps 2 is just fabulous if you're traveling.
I'm really hoping to God that you spent a little time doing spontaneous stuff over there.
Oh no! Every second of every day was no. It wasn't.
Well, it sounds like
pre-planned.
I'm a little worried. No. I mean, you were sending us eBay links for God's sake while you were in Rome. What was that all about?
I don't remember now.
Yeah, that was funny.
I'm really bored. I'm going to go scouring eBay.
Oh God!
It was Blue Mikey, wasn't it?
It was Blue Mikey.
Yeah.
No,
Yeti. Yeah. It was the Yeti.
It was the Yeti.
Yeah.
Yeti.
He's on Yeti.
He had a good deal.
It was a good deal for the microphone. Well, and anyway. So, yeah, the only thing is I couldn't find a Ferrari dealership.
Yeah, there you go.
And so I was sad.
So, Steve, does that Off Maps work with the GPS in your phone?
It does.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really, and the newer devices process fast enough. And there's like 9 Android type of OpenStreetMap apps that work with GPS. And I'm not going to put all those in here, but. This is becoming pretty ubiquitous, that you can do this stuff offline. So
very nice.
Yeah.
A couple of big upcoming events before we close out, and really let's kind of just put it all under the Twin Cities Startup Week and weekend. That's kind of all under that big thing. So check that link out.
I put that Gigabit Highway Conference that Ellen sent in. That's coming up on the 2nd through the 4th of September.
Cool.
So that's in there.
Good.
Yay. Lots of
stuff.
Check
it out.
And so we'll tell you how this next week turns out. Next week on
the Minivate Gang Podcast.
Yeah.
All righty. Take care.
Have a good week.
See you guys.